My sermon this morning is called The Other Disciple. We get to hear this morning from one of those other disciples, the less famous ones. My name is not important. Luke is the only gospel writer who even tells my story, and even Luke appears to have forgotten my name. I may have been young or old. I may have been a man or a woman. I was probably not very wealthy, probably not the kind of person who stood out in a crowd. I am one of the other disciples, the anonymous ones who followed Jesus, but were never part of the inner circle, if you know what I mean. I imagine your own church may be like that. You have your inner circle, the leaders, the ones who do most of the work, make most of the decisions, the ones who are in tight with each other. And then you have the others, your ordinary members who show up regularly or not so regularly, who give what they can and sometimes wonder if they're giving all they should. Our faces are familiar, our names perhaps less so. We know where we fit in the scheme. We are the ones on the fringe, not as important, not as powerful. We often feel that our presence or absence in the community makes little difference, or perhaps no difference at all. That may be why my friend and I were on the road to Emmaus that day, that first Easter. We weren't part of the inner circle. The only reason why we were part of the group at all was because of Jesus, and now that Jesus was gone, there was nothing to hold us there. So we left. We turned our backs on Jerusalem, on everything that had happened there, and we headed back home to Emmaus. We didn't think our leaving would make much of a difference to anyone. And to this day, I do not know where he came from. All I know is that one moment my friend and I were walking down the road, deep in conversation about what had happened. Not only what had happened on Friday when we saw our Savior nailed to that cross, but also what had happened that very morning and that crazy message from the women about Jesus being alive. But while we were all in the midst of this, the very next moment, there was a stranger walking with us. Now that was entirely natural. In those days, you wouldn't walk down a road by yourself, especially not down that road. If there was someone near, of course, you would join in and become part of the group. So this stranger was walking along with us and asking us about what we were talking about. We told him, and he didn't know what we were talking about, so we began to tell him. And as we told him, we were unburdening ourselves. We were unloading all of our grief, all of our confusion to this perfect stranger on the road. And then after we had unburdened ourselves, to our great surprise, this stranger said to us, "Oh, fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared." And then as we continued walking down that road, this stranger began showing us things in Scripture that opened our eyes to what had really happened on that Friday, opened our eyes to the reality of our risen Lord. And so, as we came to Emmaus, we're ready to go into our place. He decided he was going to go on. We managed to talk him into coming with us. And then, it was there, as he took that loaf of bread as we were sitting at the table, lifted it up, gave thanks to God, and the moment he broke that bread, it happened. The moment he broke that bread, it all came rushing back. I saw Jesus on that hillside in Galilee, lifting up the loaves to feed those 5,000 people and breaking them and giving that bread to us for us to feed that hungry multitude. And in that same instant, I also saw that other scene that had happened just 4 days before, with Jesus in the upper room taking that loaf of bread and breaking it and giving it to us and saying, "This is my body given for you. And in that instant, suddenly, we knew it was Jesus. Our risen Lord was there. And the moment we saw him and knew who it was, he was gone, vanished. And so, of course, we ran as fast as we could back to the other disciples to share the amazing news with them. Jesus was gone, but that bread remained as the enduring sign of his presence. His presence that would always be there with us. And so, brothers and sisters, I want you to know today for sure that Jesus is alive. It's not just something we say to each other and pretend to believe to make us feel better. I know it for a fact. I have seen him with my own eyes. And so have every one of you, whether you're aware of it or not. It makes no difference if you're part of the inner circle or just part of the crowd, or perhaps if you're here as a stranger yourself today. Jesus is here with you right now in spoken word and broken bread and poured out wine. Jesus is here so that he personally can share with you his death and his life. You don't have to believe it for it to be true. He's just as much here. His presence doesn't depend on your faith, but on his power. After all, the risen Jesus was with my friend and with me as we were walking down that road, although we didn't believe it. He was walking with us even though we were convinced that he was dead. Jesus was walking with us even while we were walking away from him. You know that he's walking with you. Whether you see it or not, whether you believe it or not, even if you're walking the opposite way, he is walking with you. Nothing can stop him from being with you. And I know that there are many people in your neighborhood right now who are walking their path alone. Some have never heard of Jesus. Some may know him well, but may be walking away from the church because they have been hurt or disappointed or burned out in his service. Wherever someone may be on their road, you may be that stranger who comes alongside them and who walks that road with them. As you share your faith, as you open the scriptures to them, you may be the presence of the living Lord to that person. Let that holy conversation lead you wherever it will, and know that the risen Christ will make himself known when the time is right. Amen.